It's Your Money with the investor coach, Paul Nichols. The show that pulls back the curtain on the financial services industry and exposes the truth about the traditional financial planning model. Paul believes education plus understanding leads to clarity and confidence that can and will lead to peace of mind. He uses simple solutions grounded in academic research from leading financial minds at Harvard, Yale, Princeton, and the University of Chicago, including several Nobel laureates. You do not need to know everything if you have an investor coach teaching you the few right things. Paul Nichols is the president of Financial Abundance, a registered investment advisor. He is a member of the National Ethics Bureau, the Better Business Bureau, and a member of Strategic Coach. Get ready for some common sense clarity coaching with the investor coach, Paul Nichols.
Welcome to the show. It is Saturday morning. It's time for It's Your Money, the show that pulls back the curtain on the financial services industry and exposes the truth about money and investing. Welcome. It is July 18th, all day long, and we are coming to you as we normally do every Saturday morning, part of Coach's Corner, Saturday Morning Street Smarts. And this is Paul Nichols, by the way, your host. I hope this finds you well on this fine Saturday. This show, by the way, is pre-recorded, so no sense trying to call in. But we've done better than that. We've got a bunch of questions that we've been collecting that we're going to share. And as usual, I have my soundboard. Luke, the soundboard Miller, is here this morning with me. Hey, Luke, how are you today?
Doing great. How's it going, Paul?
Good. Now, Luke gets more time off. I swear, this guy gets more time off than anybody that I know. Now, he'll be here this week, but not next week. And he's been lollygagging a lot. I don't know. I'm going to get an application for whoever you work with because, man, you get all kinds of time off.
Yeah, boss is a good guy. Let's get some time.
Well, hey, ladies and gentlemen, I hope this finds you well. I hope you caught our live show last week from the People's Choice. Had a lot of fun with that. Didn't share a lot of particulars last week because it was more of a round robin with the other coaches, but we did have a lot of fun. This week, though, we are going to be sharing a plethora. I love saying that word, plethora. Of information with you. We're going to do, as normal, our market update, which Luke prepares for us every week. And I think we got a bunch of questions, don't we, Luke, this morning?
We certainly do.
These are questions that we've collected.
Yeah, it's stuff we've gotten emails on. We've received phone calls. It's people I run into on a daily basis. They'll ask me something. And sometimes I know the answer, sometimes I don't, but I always know the guy who can give them the answer.
All right, so we're going to get into some viewer questions. And by the way, you can always, if you do have questions and you go onto our website, we do respond to them as best we can. If you can go to the website, yeah, go ahead, Luke.
We respond when you put the right email address in there.
Well, that's the other thing. You got to put the right email address in there. But if you go to Financial Abundance Inc., that's INC, financialabundanceinc.com, you can get a hold of us that way. And in fact, we just changed the website around a little bit. There's some more information on there. We now have a link to, I don't think we have the link on yet, but you can now listen to all the shows on iTunes.
Well, as of this recording, it's not on, but as of the airing, I'm sure it will be on.
Well, that's all that's important.
Right. Yeah. So you'll be able to just auto-subscribe through iTunes, and you won't have to do any of the work. It'll just show up for you.
Yeah, provided you have what do you call those things?
An iPod.
iPod. I have a iPod, yeah. I put more business stuff on there than anything else, but you can go on there and download any of the shows that we have on there, which is the most recent few months we started putting them on there. But they're on there. You can download them on your podcast. That way when you're on traveling or whatever on the road, you can always get educated by the academics, because we believe that education plus understanding leads to clarity and confidence that can and will result in peace of mind. And, you know, peace of mind is hard to come by in this arena, in the financial services arena, which is why we do the market update every single week. Because unless you know how the market's doing as a whole, you probably don't know how the market's doing at all. Because it's important, if you're going to be invested prudently, that you have a well-diversified portfolio, which means that you're going to own all the different asset classes. So we want to get into the market update. You want to add anything to this, Luke? Why don't you give them a layman's perspective? Layman meaning that, you know, I mean, you're gaining more and more knowledge, but you're learning every time we get together. What would you say the layman, from a layman perspective, why we do the market update every week?
Well, we do the market update, it's like you said, because if you are properly diversified, you're going to own the entire market, not just part of it. And if you look at just the Dow or the S&P or NASDAQ, if you look at any one of these, it's a small picture. It's a small part of the entire picture. It's like we've talked about in the past. It's like driving down the road and only using one of your gauges. Yeah, it's important to know how much fuel you have, but you also want to know how fast you're going and how everything relates to the other. If you're out of fuel, you'll probably slow down a little bit too. Yeah. So you kind of adjust and you have everything. It all works together to give you the whole picture.
And it's important, you know, we often talk about there's two types of risk that people, there's lots of risks, but two predominant risks that we notice in the market. There's what we call portfolio risk, and then there's market risk. Well, market risk is obviously being in the market and the chance that you could lose your money. But a lot of people don't realize that they could also have portfolio risk. And what that means is they're not really getting market returns because their portfolio is not properly structured. And so a properly structured portfolio is going to own all the different asset classes. Believe it or not, ladies and gentlemen, even those that are down.
And probably more importantly, those that are down.
Because they're going to go back up. See, the market wants to chase the market, and there's a lot of cost involved. You know, I wish active management and chasing the market worked because it would be pretty easy then.
Sure.
Really, to chase the market. Just chase whatever's up, sell what's down, buy what's up, sell what's down, buy what's up, and just keep doing that. If the costs that were associated with doing all that trading offset the growth, then we would be a big subscriber in active management. But unfortunately, we don't see any research, scientific or otherwise, academic or otherwise, that proves it out.
In fact, just the opposite. We found the research to prove that this is the way to do it.
And this isn't just our research. This is research from Nobel laureates in economics, from leading academics from Ivy League schools around the country, everything from Princeton, Yale, Harvard, University of Chicago, Wharton School of Business, Bendheim Center for Research, Center for Research of Security Pricing. I can go on and on and on. So we're really talking about how to develop a well-diversified portfolio, or not necessarily how to, but the importance of it. And that's why we do the market update every week. We want to have small companies and large companies, value companies, growth companies, fixed income, and money in the market. We want to have international companies, small and large. So we're going to kind of go through the market update because we can deal with the market risk if you have a well-diversified... I'm sorry, let me back up. We can help with the portfolio risk if the portfolio is well diversified, because we know where 96% of the variabilities of returns come from. We know what asset classes historically you get a premium for the risk involved. When I say premium, what do I mean by that, Luke?
Well, you have a better chance of getting a higher return. You also have more risk with it, but the premium pays for the risk.
So when we say risk premium, we mean a higher return for the risk, or a return for the risk, okay?
Right.
So let's talk about the market update as a whole. We have to look at all the different asset classes. Now, an asset class is a group of companies of a particular size. An asset class, don't confuse an asset class with a sector. A sector could be manufacturing, telecommunications, finance, healthcare, telecom, you know, on and on and on. There's different sectors. But in an asset class, you're going to own all the sectors. So when we talk about asset classes, we're really talking about sizes or types of securities. So, for example, a small asset class would encompass what, Luke?
It's going to be a small business.
Small companies, right?
Yeah.
When we say small caps, what does small caps mean? Small capitalization. So when they talk about size of company, yeah, capitalization, that's what they mean, small caps, large cap. Large capitalization means very large company. Small cap means small capitalization or small company. So not to confuse you out there, and hopefully if you're listening on a regular basis, you're having more epiphanies and aha moments each week that we discuss some of this stuff, because it certainly is contrarian to what the industry teaches, because they really believe in active management rather than an academic structured approach to investing. So the market update for, so this would be July 18th is today, although this would be as of last Monday. Last Friday. As you're listening to this, it would be as of last Friday, because the market, by the time we're recording this, the market hasn't closed yet on Monday. So the Russell 2500 Index, which measures the performance of small to mid-sized capitalized companies in the U.S. universe. This would be small to mid-cap U.S. companies. How are they doing so far for the year?
Year to date, we're up just under 1%.
And month to date?
Month to date, we're down 5.3.
So small and mids are down a little bit, up for the year, but down for the month. How about the Russell 2000, which measures the performance of small or micro? So these would be not small to mid, but small to very small.
And
U.S.
Let's see. Year to date, they are down 2.8%. And month to date, down 5.3%.
So small mid-cap and small micro growth are both down. Well, one's up a little bit and one's down.
One's flat almost.
Yeah. How about the Russell 2000 value? This measures value companies. A value company is not a growth company. A growth, large growth company would be like a Walmart. Okay, very strong. They're going to get the best deal for borrowing. Their share price is going to be better. Where a value company would be a distressed company like a Kmart. Not a bad company, but we should expect a premium. In fact, historically, you do get a premium for owning value companies, or better, higher returns. So how's the Russell 2000 small value companies doing in the United States?
Not looking any better here. Year to date, we are down just under 10%. And month to date, down just over 5.
So values aren't doing well. How about Russell 1000, which is large U.S. value companies?
Let's see. Year to date, down 8.1%, and month to date, down 5.4.
How about the S&P 500, which is really the gauge for large U.S. companies?
Yeah, and this is the one most people tend to look at, but we're looking at year to date, it's down 2 2/3. And then that's year-to-date. Month-to-date, we're down 4.4.
Okay. So basically, when we look at the U.S. equity universe, the only thing that's up year-to-date at this point is small to mid-caps. Now, one thing you got to realize is that dividends make up about 1/3. Reinvested dividends will make up over the long haul about 1/3 of your portfolio's performance. So even though some of these are down, the dividends that you got should be pushing your portfolios up some. But as a whole, we have small to mid-cap growth is the only thing that's up in the U.S., right?
Right, and it's not up by a lot.
No, but how many people do we see with small company stocks? Very few,
very,
right?
Very few.
Very few. See, very few with value as well. So as far as the U.S. goes, we're kind of lackadaisical halfway through the year here. Well, there we go. Somebody, what is this, a blue light special we have over here?
You were talking Kmart earlier, so.
Yeah. So anyway, as it relates to the U.S. equity universe, we're kind of sucking wind over here a little bit, okay? How about in the international arena?
Okay, let's go there.
All right, let's start with the Morgan Stanley Capital World Index.
Year to date, it is up 2.3%. And month to date, it is down about 4.4.
So U.S., these would be well, large developed markets are up about 2.3 for the year. How about emerging markets, which would be the Morgan Stanley Capital International Market Emerging Markets Index? How are we doing there?
Well, and if anyone's been listening, for those of you who have been listening to the show, everyone knows this has been the all-star. This one's up year to date 29.8%.
So emerging markets is really carrying the portfolios.
Certainly.
Right now. And then, of course, the Morgan Stanley Capital International Europe, Australia, and the Far East Index, which would be everything but U.S. and Canada, developed markets. How's it doing?
That one is also up 1.1%, 1.2%. And a month of date, it is down 4.25.
So where we are right now, folks, is the overall in the U.S., the only thing that's up right now is small. Everything else is down. But as it relates to the overall portfolio, international is doing quite well. It's really carrying the portfolios. And it just goes to show why you need to have diversity. Folks, if you have a well-diversified portfolio, it's not going to run lockstep with any one index. It can't. Because you've got a smattering of many different indexes. So it's important to understand that. This is why we do the market update every week, because, folks, you got to realize you need to know what's in your portfolio. If you don't, you need to get an analysis done. We can certainly help you with that. You want one that's independent and objective so that you can really find out where you are. But I'll tell you, a lot of people are missing some of the best action out there. With that being said, we're almost ready for a break. In fact, let's go ahead and take that break. You're listening to Paul Nichols, the Investor Coach, with It's Your Money, Saturday Morning Street Smarts. We'll be right back. Welcome back to It's Your Money. Good morning. My name is Paul Nichols, the investor coach. I'm joined here by Luke Miller. Luke is helps me out on a regular basis, comes in and gives me somebody to talk to, because some of this stuff can be a little challenging at times.
I help you out when I'm around.
Yes, you do. So Luke's a big help. So anyway, we were just talking about the market update, which is done. We've got that squared away. The only point that we wanted to make again over and over again is diversification is key. But I'll tell you, then most of the funds out there, I just don't see the diversification that the label implies. And so it's really important, I'll tell you, folks. You know, it's one of these things you got to take responsibility kind of for your portfolio and understanding what's going on. And that's why we're on the radio every week talking about it, pulling back the curtain on issues that matter to you. But anyway, what are we going to talk about now, Luke? I think you have some questions, don't you?
Yeah, I have a list of questions here that we've compiled over the past few weeks or so, just from a variety of sources, people I know, people we don't know. We've had some people email us. We've had some people call us. You know, I talk to people on a regular basis too, and they know what I do, and they tend to ask me questions from time to time too. So we kind of took these questions, and a lot of times you get the same question over again. So we took the big ones, and you know, we're going to try and run with it and see if we can answer some of those. And if more than one person, if one person asked the question, there's got to be more than one out there who are wondering the same things, just are not really in a position to ask, don't want to ask, are afraid to be on the radio, or who knows what. So we're trying to do this to help out everyone who maybe...
Yeah, and for those people that have questions, how could they ask those if they wanted to get a hold of you?
They can either call the office. That number is 814-867-5745, and either Paul or I will answer, or you can shoot me an email. It's Luke, L-U-K-E, at ed-inc.com.
You know, before we get into the questions, I ran across this, and I felt people would be interested in this. This is interesting. Not all tax legislation is necessarily bad. Some of it could be actually quite helpful. And by example, let's look at two bills currently in the House and one currently in the Senate. Bill H.R. 883. Have you heard of this?
I can't say that I have.
Bill H.R. 883 would repeal the 1993 provision to tax Social Security benefits up to the 85% and roll the tax back to 50%. So right now, if you hit a certain threshold, 85% of your Social Security benefits could be subject to your ordinary income tax rate. What they want to do is roll it back to 50, which they should. There shouldn't be any taxes,
there should be,
really.
Right.
You know, if the bill passes, it will be effective for years beginning this year, 2009. But don't hold your breath. Bill H.R. 882, which is one right before 883, raises the mandatory distribution age on IRA accounts from 70.5 to age 75. And if it passes, the change would go into effect in 2010. It also allows people to make contributions to their IRAs through age 74 rather than 70.5.
Well, that could be good.
Yeah, because it, you know, it gives us
a little more time.
Yeah, you don't have to pull it out if you don't need it.
Right.
But of course, you know, there's about a 75% chance of that bill passing. But now let's turn to the bill in the Senate. Bill F, as in Frank, 978, increases the capital loss provision from $3,000 to $10,000, and if it passes, would begin in 2009 and then be indexed for inflation going forward. So all three of these bills sound good to me.
Yeah, they could turn into something positive.
So if you want to get these bills and get a hold of your local politician, we can get you these numbers. But it's H.R. 883, H.R. 882, and F-978. So all three of these could help. And what they're talking about is a capital loss provision. You know, if you lost $50,000 in the market, you can only write $3,000 of it off per year. Which is just absolutely ridiculous, because if you made $50,000, you'd have to pay
all of it.
The capital gains. Yeah. Anyway, let's go ahead and go on to some of these questions.
All right. Well, I'm just going to start off here with one that's, you know, I know the answer to this, and I think most people do, but it's something I've heard more than once, and especially with the age of people I tend to associate with. You know, they say retirement's a long way away for me. Why should I start saving? Where's the benefit in saving now? We all know it, but I think to hear it again is a good thing.
Well, the idea of saving earlier is you have more time for your money to grow, obviously. And compounding interest according to Albert Einstein, is the eighth wonder of the world, you know, that is getting interest on interest growth. You know, it's like I used to say to my wife when we were younger and putting money away. I said, you know, for every dollar we save today, it's going to be at least $3 we have later. Or for every dollar we spend today on a trinket or something that maybe is not that important, is $3 or $4 we won't have in retirement. And so I guess, you know, it depends on when you want to retire and at what level you want to retire at. Now, there's something to be said about, you know, well, I'm, you know, I may never make it to retirement. I may not never live that long. But, you know, you want to plan for the worst and hope for the best. But the sooner you can start putting money away, obviously, the better it's going to be for you. I mean, all you got to do is look at a dollar invested, you know, over any period of time, 10, 20, 30, 40, 50 years, and it's quite extraordinary where you see it. Even with taxes, even with inflation, it's still a respectable number. So it really speaks to the compounding.
Well, and I guess the other part of that question that I've had from people is, you know, well, and there's more than one way to save, I suppose, but with the economy and the market doing what it just did over the past 12 months, you know, people are gun shy. They don't know what to do, and they're afraid. What do you
tell
them?
You're looking at long time frames. You know, that's the thing. I mean, long, you know, investing in the market is a long-term endeavor. Now, there's other vehicles out there that we can help you with that aren't in the market at risk, and there's, you know, you're just not going to get the yield that you would get in the market, and it's probably suitable for a number of you to be in some of those vehicles, you know, that where you don't lose your money, where you can get a, you know, a decent rate of return without the risk. But you know, you can't look at the market from a short-term perspective because the market has a two-thirds bias. 2 of 3 years is up, 1 of 3 years is down. So it's kind of like, you know, it would be better to plan for retirement and then hopefully you screw it up and you got more than you need. I will say this. Here's what I notice that people come in my office. It's a larger group comes in and don't think they can retire. And more than likely, when we put income for life models together and do all their planning, they can, or they're very close to it. It's always the people that come in are absolutely sure they can retire.
They're the ones who can.
The ones who can't, because, you know, retirement's not an age level, ladies and gentlemen. It's an income level. It's got nothing to do with age. You know, I mean, I have clients that are retired at 50, and I have clients that aren't retired at 70. So, I mean, you know, it's got to do with income.
Income and desire, I suppose.
Yeah, and I guess size of family and all that. Obviously, you know, someone that has a larger family and a lot of kids, you know, I mean, kids are expensive, you know. You know,
tell
I mean, you
me
got
about
four,
it.
I got three. We know what it's like. It's every time you turn around, you're reaching in their pocket for something. Shoes or glasses or teeth or just feeding the buggers is enough sometimes, I got to tell you. But anyway, let's go on to another question.
All right. Well, here's this kind of goes into that saving arena again. And we hear it a lot. Times are tough right now. You know, there's, you know, the things are seem to be on their way up, but it's still tough.
Depends on who you talk to.
Well, that's true.
But yeah, it's tougher for more than not.
Correct. And you know, so for the people who are having it tough right now, how can you save when you're on a tight budget?
Well, I'll tell you, I'll share something with you that was a revelation for me. I was 23 years old. Basically broke, living from paycheck to paycheck.
Whippersnapper.
Yes, and I had met this orthodontist in New Jersey who saw a very ambitious kid without any direction, I guess, and we developed a relationship, and this guy was very successful, had a very large practice. Guy was making like $500,000 a year. Very, very successful in New Jersey, and of course you need to make that kind of money in where he lived in New Jersey. But anyway, he shared something with me when I was complaining about not having any money, and he says, well, you probably waste a fair amount of money. And I said, I don't know about that. I'm a pretty good steward of my money. He said, I challenge you for the next 30 days to write down every penny you spend. You know, if you're a smoker, if you're I drink a lot of coffee. You know, I'm a big coffee drinker. Mm-hmm. You know, if you spend it on, I spend a lot of money on gum and coffee. That's where I spend most of my money, on gum and coffee, by the way. if you were to write down every penny you spend for 30 days, he said to me, I think you'll be surprised where you'll be. And I thought, no way. So I went ahead and did it, and I was shocked. I was shocked how much money it slipped through my fingers, and I really hadn't even figured it out. And I started looking and carving out a few things. And what I did is I just got a jar at home that month, the month after. And I said, you know what? Today when I go out, and if I'm going to normally buy that pack of gum or buy that coffee, let me deny myself that, and if I do, come home and put the money in the jar.
Same money.
And I was surprised that I had over $100 in that jar the next month, and I was living paycheck to paycheck. So we can get the money, but sometimes we want to make emotional decisions, little warm fuzzies, and back them up with logic to spend money. And I understand it. We all work hard. You should, you know, here's the argument that I make to myself. Well, you know, I should be able to get that coffee and go to the movie and go out to dinner. Hey, I work hard. You know, I mean, I should, you know, and true, but you also got to find a balance. So that's a tough one. But folks, ladies and gentlemen, I would consider myself successful today, but I wasn't always that way. I came from a very, very poor background. In fact, welfare background. So, you know, I don't want to hear your sob stories, if I may just be a little bit candid. Look, I'm a coach. I'm here to coach you up. Some of you guys are out there struggling. I know where you've been, but I believe you kick a good man and he'll get up. Kick a man when he's down and he'll get up. That's my philosophy. It may sound kind of hard, but I'll tell you, people have done it to me and I'm a better man because of it. So if you're struggling, I can relate to it. I feel for you. Our heart goes out to you. It really does, because I've been there. And I could tell you stories that would probably shock some of you, but as it relates to really being broke. But it doesn't have to always be that way. You know, you're the master of your own destiny. Sometimes it's just a matter of education, Luke. And so I'm not coming from a judgmental viewpoint. And Luke knows me quite well. Yeah. Luke, would you say I'm quite compassionate? I mean...
Sure. And the neat thing is you do bring these experiences to the table with you, which I find intriguing. You know, your background, we have a fair amount of time to chat and to hear the stories you've told and to know where you've come from and to what you've become and what you've helped other people become even more impressively is really a neat story.
So, you know, folks, you can do it out there. I know some of you are struggling. I know what it's like. I can relate to it. But it's, you know what? I've always told my wife, and she's always found great comfort in this. I've always said to her, honey, it's a temporary situation. It's just temporary. It's not always going to be like this. Right now, we got to deal with this. We got to deny ourselves a little bit, maybe eat beans instead of hot dogs and steak, you know, but it's just temporary. This too shall pass. Anyway, we got enough time for maybe another question, Luke.
All right. Well, here's a good one that I get, and it's, you know, I'm paraphrasing all of these, but it turns into apathy. It's, I really don't understand investing. So I'm just going to keep doing what I'm doing. What should I do? What should I be doing? How
there's a lot
I
of wealthy people that would appreciate you doing that.
Yeah.
Staying stupid about investing, you know, throwing your hands up. Oh, I can't learn that. Well, the industry has worked very hard to make it difficult to learn, but it doesn't have to be that difficult. And we prove it out all the time. I mean, we have an investor education series. All you got to do is plug in and you can learn this stuff. It's not that complex, but if you watch the TV stations and watch all the stuff, I can see where you're overwhelmed. But, you know, it's really not that tough. And geez, I don't know how to express that, Luke. You know, we have this investor education series. You've watched people that didn't know buckus about the market.
Myself included.
And really have a very strong understanding of it today. We got about 20 seconds.
Yeah, these classes, the information that we do have available at the office really can open your eyes.
And you can get it via the, you know what, and you can get it links. I mean, look, we've said it all the time on the radio. If you don't get educated, it's your fault, okay? You can. The information's there. So I know you don't really understand investing, but that doesn't mean that you can't learn about it. Okay, and it's not really that difficult if you have a coach teaching you the few right things. You don't need to know everything, just the few right things. You know what? We got to go to a break. This is Paul Nichols, the investor coach, joined by Luke Miller. You're listening to It's Your Money, part of Coach's Corner, Saturday Morning Street Smart. So we'll be right back.
Have you borrowed money from your 401k or 403b? Big mistake. Never borrow money from your retirement plan, no matter what. Many people think it's harmless, but it's anything but. First of all, your money you borrowed isn't just borrowed. It's actually removed from the plan. That means your account won't grow as much as it would have. Second, you have to repay the loan, and that means you're paying taxes twice on the same money. So never borrow from your retirement plan, and if you have to pay it back right away. To learn more about investments, IRAs, retirement planning, mortgages, insurance planning, buying homes, eliminating non-preferred debt, and more, call Paul at Financial Abundance 814-867-5745. Or check out their website, financialabundanceinc.com. You don't need to know everything if you have a coach teaching you the few right things. Call Paul at 814-867-5745.
Welcome back to It's Your Money. My name is Paul Nichols. I'm your host, joined by Luke Miller. And we are the financial radio show that pulls back the curtain on the financial services industry and exposes the truth about money and investing. We believe education plus understanding leads to clarity and confidence that can result in peace of mind. And you know what's interesting, ladies and gentlemen? One of the things I've noticed lately, especially, is there is certainly not a lack of information in this country, but there is a lack of clarity in this country. That's really what we bring to the table. That's what we're trying to do every week, is create some clarity here. And speaking of clarity, we're talking about questions. Where'd these come from again, Luke?
Just all over the place. We've got some emailed to us, some phone calls, some clients, some people in my everyday life that have just asked me questions. And I know one or two came from people you know as well. So this makes for the idea is, if one person asked it, there's a good chance there's more than one person who was wondering the same thing.
Yeah, and speaking of, we were talking about hard times, people dealing with hard times, and certainly there are people out there struggling. It shouldn't come as any surprise to learn that the delinquency rate on credit cards is rising. However, it might surprise you to learn that the rate was 1.32% for the first 90 days of this year versus 1.2% in 2008. It appears to be a smaller number.
Yeah, not as big as I would have figured.
Yeah, but when you apply it, the number of people with credit cards, it obviously becomes quite large. The average total credit card debt also increased to about $5,776 to $200 higher than it was last year. So basically, we got a little bit more debt than we did last year, understandably. But anyway, questions. We're talking about questions, just a hodgepodge of questions you picked up here, there, and everywhere. And what's the next one we want to talk about?
Next one, your number. What's my number? It's how much income will I need to pay living expenses during retirement?
Yeah, you know, and this one here is, I really have to take issue with the industry on this one, because the industry wants to give you this impression that you only need 80% to live on than what you're getting by on now. And in my planning and what we've seen, and we do this every day, this is what we specialize in, really retirement planning, estate planning. What we've noticed is that's not the case.
No.
People need 100% of what they're living on. So let's give you just a couple simple rules that'll help you with this, okay? Obviously, you need to have enough fixed income or sources when you retire to cover your nut, whatever that is.
Sure, your home, car,
whatever
bills
expenses
you have.
Are. And everybody's broke at a different level, okay? So what's interesting is, let's say a guy needs $50,000 a year. We'll just pull that number out of the air. The guy needs $50,000 a year to live on.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, he might be 40 or 50 years. We're not sure how old he is right now, 30, 20, whatever, okay? But we do know that he needs $50,000 a year to live on right now. Okay, well, let's do something called the rule of 72 to help you out a little bit here. The rule of 72 is a pretty simple rule you can do in your head, and it tells you the percentage rate that you need for your money to double. Okay,
okay.
Or the years that you would need your money to double at a certain percentage rate. So, for example, if we were earning 7.2% on our accounts,
mm-hmm.
how many years would it take to double? 7.2 divided into 72 is what?
It's about 10.
10. So about, if you're earning about 7.2%, every 10 years, your money should double. Okay?
Okay.
All right, let's do it again. Let's say you're earning 9% on your money. How many years does it take for your money to double?
That's going to be, what?
Nine times...
Eight.
Eight, nine times, that's right. Nine times.
I did that in my head.
Did that in my head. Shout it out. 8 times 9 is 72. It's just a general rule of thumb, you know, but it gives you kind of an idea. So let's take it and go ahead and use inflation.
Okay.
If we know the inflation rate, well, there's the published inflation rate and there's the real inflation rate. Let's just go ahead and go with the 4%, okay?
Okay.
Let's go with the 4% inflation rate. 4 goes into 72 how many times?
Now I'm going to have to get out pen and
paper. Almost 20.
Yeah, that's...
Almost 20, right? So really, it's what, about 18 times?
Yeah.
Okay. So that means every 18 years, at 4% inflation, you need your money to double.
Wow.
Am I throwing this at you? I mean, does this make sense?
No, that makes sense. That's a lot quicker than I would have expected.
I know. Inflation
4%.
Is that... It's like, they're like... Inflation is like a thief in the night.
That's...
Okay,
yeah.
Very subtle, okay? So, back to the earlier question, how much do I need to retire? Well... if you need $50,000 to live on right now, and you're not retiring for 20 years, then how much money would you need using the rule of 72?
Assuming 4%
inflation rate,
it's going to be right around $100,000
per year. About $100,000 you would need. Okay. Now, if you're not going to retire for 40 years,
going to be $200,000.
Then you're probably going to need closer to $200,000 a year.
Per year.
Now, when you think about $200,000 a year, it sounds like a massive amount of money. But 40 years ago, you know, what were people making in 1969?
It's significantly less
than
that.
Yeah, I mean, you know, you're making $25,000 a year, you were making pretty good money, you know? Mm-hmm. So, it's relative when you start to look at it. But this rule of 72 will help you a little bit with that. Now, the good news is, if we use 4% inflation rate and our money needs to double about every 20 years, okay,
mm-hmm.
All right. Well, the good news is, if we're earning 8 or 9%, our money's more than doubling every 20 years.
Then we're beating inflation.
We're beating inflation plus having some gains. So I don't know if that helps out there, whoever asked that question, but it's just a good general rule of thumb. You need to replace the money that you're living on right now. Now, the good news is, 20 years from now, that guy hopefully will have Social Security. He may or may not have a pension.
May or may not have Social Security.
Yeah, but some variants thereof. And then we know that the money that he's putting away in his retirement accounts should bridge the difference, or at least that's the goal.
Mm-hmm. Okay, we'll move on from that. Using this guy who saved up his $200,000 or $400,000 a year, however it is, he wants to know, how much can I withdraw from my retirement savings during retirement and not run out of money?
Well, that's tough, because if you're using the traditional financial planning model, which doesn't work anymore, and the proof's in the pudding with that out in this country today, you know, the general financial planning rule of thumb was, whatever your total account is, you can pull 4% off of that and not get into the principal. Well, we've ran those models over and over again, and we're not seeing that to be the case. In fact, about 35% of the time, people do run out of money. So that question gets a little bit more complex, because what we need to do is determine what amount of money he needs at a certain level,
mm-hmm.
of income, and then run an income for life model, where we can develop a guaranteed predictable income stream. And however much money it takes to put that together, what's left is the money that may be actually in the market. In other words, we take the bulk of the money, put it in a liquid safe environment where you can't lose the money, and it provides a ongoing income
stream.
So, you know, that question's kind of tough. The general rule of thumb is you can pull about 4% off and not get into principal, but the proof's not in the pudding on
There's
that
no
one.
Guarantee on that.
Yeah, that's
whereas,
you know,
with the IFL, there is a guarantee.
Yeah, with an income for life model, you do have the guarantee. So that one's kind of tough. Let's go past that one, because that one I need more information from them to really answer.
Sure. Well, and then here's another one based on saving for retirement. And, you know, where do I put the money? Where is the best place to allocate the money for retirement?
Well, it really depends on how far off retirement is, okay? Now, in your case, you're about 30 years old, okay? So more than likely, the smartest place for you to put money in retirement, which is 30 years or more out, would be in a long-term or an aggressive, well-diversified academic institutional portfolio, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm 45. I'm 15 years older. Okay. Now, me, as a general rule, it depends. Now, I have a third of my money very aggressively invested, but I have two thirds of my money in the environment where it cannot be lost, or it cannot be taxed either. But that's a whole nother conversation.
That's a new show.
That's another show. That's right. You know what? There are sources you can go to and develop tax-free income streams. There's no question about it. We do it all the time. So, hit me with the question again to make sure I'm covering it.
How should I allocate the money I have earmarked for retirement?
And you know, it kind of goes back to what you said earlier, which is, what's your number?
Yeah.
You know, let's look at two scenarios. We see this all the time, Luke. You know, let's look at two 50-year-olds. One of them has put away $500,000. The other one's put away 50. For various reasons, kids, college, jobs, whatever the case is.
Life happens.
So the guy with the $500,000, let's say they both need the same income stream. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the one with the $500,000 can put his money in CDs or annuities that are very safe and not have to worry about, keep up with inflation. He's good.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Because he's got plenty of money. You know, his yield, what's his number? The question is, what's your number? The answer is, what number or what yield What return do you need to get on your portfolio to not run out of money by time you're 100? Now, we'll talk about, oh, I'm never going to live to 100. Well, as John Wayne says, don't bet your life on it, okay?
Or your life savings.
There's a lot of centurions out there. In fact, many, many more than you can imagine. In fact, the fastest growing age group in our country is 90 to 94 years old. So, but that person is going to need a small number, right, Luke?
Sure.
Where the guy that's got 50 grand for whatever reason, he has no choice but to put it in the market. He's got to try to get 10%.
Take a bigger
or 12.
Risk.
Yeah, he's going to have to. So it really depends on where they're at.
Yeah, the scenario, everybody's different.
Everybody is different. That's why we offer the consultations when we get with people, you know,
yeah.
Complimentary consultations. So we can sit down with them for an hour and figure out if we can even help them.
Yeah, well, that's a good place to start.
And the majority of the people we can help, and if we can't, we'll tell you where to get the help you can't get from us. We won't send you away without knowing what you're doing moving forward, you know, and some encouragement, which we all need. Some people walk in the office, they're a little bit, you know, embarrassed because they haven't put X amount of dollars away. Well, who am I? That's their life, not mine.
Yep.
You know, I'm never judgmental over a guy that's got no money or a lot of money. I mean, everybody needs help.
Everybody got to where they are, just ended up there.
Yeah, and you're right. Life happens.
Choices. And,
yeah.
It's who, like you said, who are we to judge?
That's right. You know, so never be embarrassed for where you are, and you know, it's amazing. A lot of people will not go get planning because they're embarrassed about the lack of knowledge they have about it or the size of their accounts. And folks, that's exactly, you know, look, you got to break that mold, my friends. Come on.
Right.
You know, you can't be an expert about everything. I was sitting down with a guy last week. He said, I don't know anything about this. And he was really felt bad about it. And the guy was a PhD in a certain field. And I said to him, well, I don't know anything about your field. What does that mean? I'm an idiot? No, that means I don't understand your field. You can't be an expert in everything. That's why we have vocations. That's why you go to experts for help, right? You go to a mechanic. You don't go to a mechanic to fix your plumbing.
No.
You go to a plumber. No. You know, you go to experts for what they do, whether they be white collar, blue collar, or whatever. You know, you don't go to your mechanic and say, my arm hurts here. You know, he'll probably laugh at you. But anyway.
Don't do that.
Yeah. anyway, how much time we got? Oh, we got a couple minutes left. What, we got time for another question?
Yeah, here's a good one. When should I begin to draw Social Security?
As soon as you can, in my opinion. If you're going to retire at 62, get it. No, you know, no sense putting it off. If you're going to go ahead and wait till 65, then go ahead and wait till 65 to pull your Social Security because you're penalized from 62 to 65, 66, 67, depends on how old you are when your actual full retirement age is, okay? But my philosophy is as soon as you can get it, and it doesn't affect your other income. In other words, it would not make sense for you to take it at 62 and keep working full-time because then you'll get penalized.
Tax.
Yeah. No, not a, no, it's not a tax.
It's a penalty.
It's a penalty because you're earning more money than the threshold allows. There's an exclusion. So I tell my clients, if you're going to retire at 62, start Social Security. Don't put it off. In fact, I believe the Social Security statement that we get around our birthday every year is nothing short of a marketing brochure to try to get people to prolong taking Social Security when they really should take it a lot sooner. So I'm a big proponent. And by the way, the crossover is about 72. If you take it at 62 versus and less money taking versus more money at 65, the crossover math-wise is about 72, right in that range. I haven't met any professionals I've dealt with that don't encourage people to take it earlier. There might be somebody out there, but I don't. I'd love to see the rationale for it because I'm going to take it as soon as I can get it.
Well, then I guess
it's my money.
There you go. You paid for it.
That's right. All of you paid in there.
Okay.
Well, you know what? I don't think we have any more questions. We got any commercials we want to do? We got about 25 seconds.
Yeah, we've got the iPod. The iTunes is up.
Yes.
Make sure you check it out. If you like what you're hearing, you can get all of these shows on your iPod now. You can subscribe. It'll do it automatically for you. And you don't have to worry about messing with it. Once you sync, it'll put it on your iPod.
Yeah, so if you'd like to get our shows downloaded, you can go onto the website or, you have to go to the website, financialabundanceinc.com. Hey, we got to run. Have a great day. We'll see you next week.